Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I would.
I always want to do... We are live on YouTube now.
But I wish we could tell you what we were talking about. Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, here in the Rugby Dungeon to dissect a monster week as the Pro 14 reaches a finale of the regular season, as the Premiership builds to a crescendo, and as all sorts of other rugby shenanigans are going on in the last week. JB is right there.
Hello, Timothy.
Philip is there.
Hello, Tim.
And I'm Tim. Good weekend, gents.
I'm off mic. I'm feeling a bit, I don't know what you feel, but I feel a little bit hazy today.
What was last night?
It was JB's belated birthday.
It wasn't really my birthday, but I cooked a brisket. I wanted an excuse to cook a brisket. So I cooked a brisket, made some pastrami.
Outside or inside, what were you talking? Like, you didn't slow cook it in a barbecue?
No, I brined it for a week, and then I put it in the barbecue for 6 hours, and then I steamed it for 6 hours.
Wow.
And it was reasonable, to be fair.
It was very, very good. The meat was sensational.
But be honest, for five sandwiches, because that's what we had, isn't it? We had five sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's a lot of effort for five sandwiches. So we did that, and then we went into the great city of Manchester, to the Cloudwater Brewery. You've been there?
No.
It's awesome. Mm. It's really, really good.
Good.
And that was it, really.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And we drank a few Negronis, of course.
Well, this is one thing I was going to say. I think possibly this is the pinnacle of our influence. You know, we came up with the phrase prize-winning marrow, which got ended up getting used on television. What did we speak about that Nick Mullins used in his commentary in a Six Nations game? Oh, it was Dan Carter's Racing 92.
There you go.
Nick, that was our thing on the podcast, and Nick Mullins said, oh, as we're contractually obliged to call it, Dan Carter's Racing 92, which was from the podcast. Various other influences, but now Negroni is mainstream, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and they're putting all sorts of ingredients in which do not belong in a Negroni. If it's nice, you're doing it wrong.
But we were contacted by, who was it? I've got it here. By Patrick Hall, who was in a local Lidl and saw them selling Negroni cocktails in Lidl. That's how mainstream it's gone.
I know.
And I think because of our influence.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to move on, though, to just straight Frenette Branca. I can't say it now.
Frenette Branca.
Frenette Branca.
I think for this season, till this season is done, we stick with the Negroni. And I'm going to say, as people enjoy playoffs and building towards the World Cup, pictures of Negroni and rugby tweeted to at Rugby Podcast.
But if you go to a bar, as I did in North Wales a few weeks ago, that has a twist on a Negroni that's not a Negroni. So it had, it was a Negroni basically with Prosecco.
It's ridiculous.
Well, in fact, it was Prosecco and Aperol Spritz. And Aperol Spritz is a separate cocktail which has Prosecco in it. Anyway, so if you have it like that, or if you go to All Bar One and they serve a Negroni with Tia Maria.
Disgusting.
That is not a Negroni.
Mm. It's not. And
I've got one other thank you as well. So at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us. Tweet us your pictures of you enjoying a Negroni and enjoying some rugby. If you're watching on YouTube currently, I'm just going to strip for you because I haven't been in the Rugby Dungeon for the last 2 weeks. And so I haven't been able to say to Kieran John, former services man himself, thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
What have we got here?
For...
Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Royal Navy jersey.
That is awesome.
It's so simple.
Isn't it a great kit?
Oh, yeah, and the Royal Marine Commando, the knife on the side.
I don't mind saying, I do love the armed services kits, but I do feel like a fraud when I wear them.
I am now, when it comes to the services matches, I am a... I belong to the Navy.
That is an exceptional looking. That is an exceptional looking top.
Canterbury were exceptional. They sort of went off the boil a little bit with some of their jerseys. I think this could point the way forward.
Very simple.
Imagine if you had arms to fit that shirt in.
you're not
that'd
wrong.
Be amazing.
You're not wrong. So thank you very much to Kieran John. So JB has his.
My RAF jersey.
RAF jersey. I have my Navy jersey. Phil just needs an Army jersey now.
Yes, if anyone can source me an Army jersey,
I would like to
let us know.
The RAF ladies did win this weekend.
Very good.
All this week.
But the RAF, the men did lose to the Navy.
Well, so. We need to cover these equally and evenly.
Well, okay, then if you're covering rugby equally, who won the Tyrrells 15, Premier 15s final?
I believe it was Saracens. They beat Harlequins by about 15 points.
Correct.
Oof, look at that!
I mean, the Saracens have won the Sevens and the Women's and are still in the race to win two further trophies this season.
Yeah, I have a feeling Sale want to do something with women's rugby sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah, because they've not got a team. It's Waterloo,
Waterloo's the nearest one. I think they're going to do something, and that'll be quite exciting. I'll go and watch, right, if they're playing in Hayward Road.
There's a lot of netball rugby club link-ups.
Yeah, right.
Wasps have a netball team, which is loosely linked to the rugby.
I'm glad you mentioned this, because the Girl Guides were in the news this week, talking about breaking down barriers, yada, 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 nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. And one of the things they want is more girls playing rugby, which I am all for. However, I am not for girls playing rugby if it's going to be touch rugby. And it's not because I'm not for girls not playing touch rugby. I'm not for anyone playing touch rugby. And there's also
isn't the Touch Rugby World Cup going on at the minute?
Who cares? Right. But I tell you what, the Netball World Cup, which Girl Guides already play, and I'd say anyone who's going to waste their summer playing touch rugby, man or woman, should actually sack that off immediately and play netball.
It's not far off rugby.
Netball is a far superior sport to touch rugby. Far superior.
I disagree with that.
Well, you're wrong. You're simply wrong. It's not even subjective.
It's not subjective.
It's not subjective.
Your opinion is not subjective.
I like touch rugby. I the one thing I hate about touch rugby are the voluntary touches that people take.
Oh, it's yeah. garbage.
Where the person with the ball reaches out to be touched. That's,
it's stolen valour. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I play rugby. Oh, do you? Who thought? Oh, well, it's kind of touch. All right, never mind. Let's move on.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll move on with, and this is a nice way to kick off the...
end-to-end 10-second spectaculars, but 27 phases of rugby perfection.
Boring, then, hurry up!
Use it, please.
Joe Marler.
I was thinking of you when that happened.
Yeah.
Because I know how much you hate the elongated ruck.
Well, again, I think that's... I know we were the first ones, really, to start getting really pissed off about that as well.
I think it's a great thing.
It frustrates me.
Because it's and box kicks.
Because it's a technical. It's a technical skill.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't have to take 10 seconds to do it. Technical skill, four guys bending over.
Don't get me wrong, it could be.
what kind of technical skills?
Yeah, this is about as technical as pushing. You know,
people have done congas since school days.
I like it because it's just something which you've got to be good at. I would say this, the officials have to hurry it up. So as soon as they see people starting to elongate their rucks, you've got to basically use it now.
And that's what Joe Marler was getting annoyed about and telling Nick White to get
he wasn't
get
getting annoyed, he was just being Joe Marler.
Yeah, he was.
He was just in his natural habitat.
It was brilliant. Even him in his pre-game interview with Hugo Monier was that's right. So you got a flesh-coloured t-shirt on anyway. Yeah, JB was just getting undressed. He's wearing a flesh-coloured t-shirt, so you look topless anyway.
Fine.
Even with his old mate and teammate, Hugo Monier, Joe Marler was being mischievous.
Yep.
As always.
Do you think there's any chance he could still go to a World Cup?
A couple of injuries, he might get a phone call.
I mean,
it sounds like he wouldn't want to,
I
though.
Think from he'd have to make the phone call to Eddie, wouldn't he?
Maybe. He's from the interviews he gave when he announced his retirement for international rugby, kind of, I don't know,
I think he sort of
6 months ago, a bit longer than that, it seemed like there was very little that could happen that would persuade him to go back and do it and spend that time away from his family.
My view on this would be, I think he'd jump at the chance to go to World Cup, but I also think that because he wasn't prepared to put in the work previous to it, it doesn't send the right...
No, I think
he knows that too.
Some players would have an issue with that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's perfectly comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm just not putting the work.
Yeah.
But something would have to happen. Yeah, he's definitely...
Yeah, I mean, if there were three injuries at loosehead prop...
Yeah.
You'd want to be calling up Marler.
Oh, sorry.
Because he's got so much big game, so much international experience. You'd be mad not to.
Yeah, here's a place to start. Let's The vultures are circling currently.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good bit of production.
Newcastle Falcons are all but down. that's a vulture sound, apparently.
That Dean Richards.
And, yeah, so, I mean, if you were a Premiership club next season, I mean, Newcastle have got a fair bit of talent. How much of it are they going to lose? And who would you have going where? Would be the best fit?
Oh, I mean, obviously, with my neutrals hat on, I would quite like to see Johnny Williams come to the north, to the northwest.
I can see him going back to London Irish.
Yeah. Now, he's an interesting one, isn't he?
Yeah, London Irish would be interesting, actually.
As I understand it, I think he went to Newcastle because he was desperate to carry on playing Premiership and therefore went at maybe not his market value. So,
well, and here's a curveball. Could he go to a Scottish side? Because Gregor Townsend's been onto him. So
has he?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
He can play for Wales, Scotland and England.
Yeah, just looked him up. His middle names are Bledin Reith.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
He could maybe go to Wales.
I'd have him in Wales. I'd have him in Wales. Imit Dragons.
Can I stop the vulture noises? Is that all right?
Yes, yeah, please. Very hungry, those vultures,
they really
today.
Are. So good, right? Quality players. Gonova obviously is going to France. Sinotti's got to be someone you'd have.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, well, Nathan Earle's out for a year, so Quinns could do with a winger.
Nathan Earle's out for a year. Mm. What happened to him?
I don't know what it is. It's knee, isn't it? I think
that's horrible.
Yeah. So, so a winger to Quinns might be a shout.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guessing the big centre that they've got would go up to Scotland.
Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure he's from the Lake District, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he's not the most Scottish person, is he?
Born in Carlisle.
There we go.
There's already some talk in the rugby paper today that Mark Wilson could be going on loan.
Mm. That would be interesting. So
and the two clubs linked to him are Wasps and Sale.
So the one club that I think would make most sense. So Wasps have got a gap to plug with Nathan Hughes leaving.
Yeah.
One club that really need him would be Leicester. They need because him and Guy Thompson are both really good, aggressive workhorses, but
gritty
can both
northern flankers,
but can both carry. They're great. I think that would be a really good fit for him.
But in a World Cup year. Do you want? I mean, a World Cup year, do you want? How much money do you want to spend on Mark Wilson? That'd be the thing.
Well,
you're not going to see him for half the season.
Yeah,
in all probability,
and a loan deal makes a lot of sense. Really, you pay almost a pay by play type scenario.
Curry Wilson is what Sale could put out.
Ross Curry Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh my word!
Or
Curry Ross
Wilson Curry Dupria.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Frightening stuff at the AJ Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be exciting to watch.
Well, that might be exciting to watch, but of course it could be absolutely horrific to watch. That's probably the worst game of rugby I've ever seen live.
I thought it was brilliant.
6-6.
No.
Six three.
Sorry,
6-3. I was getting confused with the 7-7 at the Wreck in December, which I was at as well.
And you
it was
made
probably
you
the
go.
Second worst game I've ever.
You swore you would never see a worse game of rugby than that game at the Wreck. Tim,
I did.
It was amazing in its own way, I guess. Unbelievable, some might say. I want to talk about Bath, but before I do talk about Bath, and also tell you what I do in the bath now, why don't you tell me about Cornerstone Razors, Tim?
Oh, wonderful, JB. Well, actually,
by the way, I've mentioned that because I shave in the bath.
Well, and this actually relates. Cornerstone Razors relate to that game at the AJ Bell, because something you wouldn't have seen because you were there at the game watching, you wouldn't have seen the television commentary, the interview with Steve Diamond on 60 Minutes, where he made reference to the pubic hair.
He did, didn't he?
Or lack of pubic hair of his players. I don't know whether he was talking about the male grooming habits of his team, or whether he was making the point that some of his players are very, very young.
Well, can I tell you... He also described one of his team in the press conference after as, he's a 6'4", big lump, built like a doorman. We like doorman.
Yeah,
About Matt Postlethwaite, who was one of the young guns with no pubic hair.
But the game is better. That's just how the youth groom these days. And if that is the case, and the game is better for Steve Diamond, it definitely was the most entertaining thing to have happened in that 80 minutes, with no question about that. First time I've ever heard a DOR talk about pubic hair. But yes. Cornerstone razors, whether you are grooming, well, whatever part of your body you're grooming, but let's just assume it's your face for now, you will find no better razor than a Cornerstone razor. We love them. They help us make the podcast and they love us, which is why we can offer to you an amazing offer of six Cornerstone razors in a presentation box delivered to you with your free engraved aluminium shaft that, as listeners of ours have pointed out, stands up beautifully on the shelf in your bathroom, your initials engraved on it, weighty metal, and all for £4 because you listen to us. Go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
I would. Right, okay. Now, I want to talk about Bath. We've spoke about Sale on this podcast once or twice before, but not really at length about Bath. They're awful. I mean, they're awful. And the weird thing is about it, okay, so I was lucky enough to interview Toby Booth last week on Rugby Dungeon, who is a really impressive character. Met him at the AJ Bell this week as well. Lovely guy. The coaches seem to be doing, you know, a good job. They've got a good coaching setup. They've got good players. I don't understand how they can be as bad as they are.
The bit I don't understand is, and I think for a lot of Bath fans, they're glad to see the back of Todd Blackadder. Well, not in that sense, because I think everyone agrees he is one of the loveliest men.
Yeah.
He is such a lovely man. I wanted to give him a hug, because I thought it might be the last time, probably is going to be the last time I see him. I did feel like I wanted to give him a hug as much as anything, because of this. Whilst he's getting a lot of stick, his team in the last two games, away at Sale and away at Gloucester, have, for 20, 25 minutes, gone out and executed a game plan perfectly.
I have to question on that. Which 20 minutes did they do well in this week? I mean, that's a serious question.
So, against Gloucester, they were, what, two or three tries?
Not the Gloucester game, the Sale game.
And they were totally dominant for 20 minutes. Totally dominant. They didn't convert as many points as they should have in that time, but they were playing a game plan absolutely perfectly. Khan Fotualii was and Freddie Burns were playing a really great tactical game. The pack were in charge. They were winning scrum penalties. They were dominating. And then they just lose their heads, this Bath team. They give away ridiculous penalties and loads of them. And it's the same story in so many games, which leads me to believe I just feel really sorry for Todd Blackadder, because that's clearly not a coaching thing, because they go out and do it and then lose their heads.
It's a weird one, isn't it? And just to add to the Bath thing, which is a mystery, when I walked through the tunnel, said hello to you, and the first guy that I walked into was Max Laheath, who is bloody enormous. Like, he's stupid big.
But he's in great shape as well.
He's like GQ.
It was unreal. Yeah. And then the second guy that I walk into was Dave Atwood. Right? Now, yeah. I'm fairly used to looking at professional rugby players now. But Bath are different. I mean, Sale are a big team. Bath look like they might play in a different league. That's how, I mean, even the small lads, like Sam Underhill, are not small. Like, I used to think that Zach Mercer was quite small. He is not small. They are all absolutely enormous. And then the backs are absolutely rapid. And they just can't string anything together whatsoever. I would think, with the talent they've got, I think top four is a must for any coach who goes there.
Oh, yeah.
Must.
Yeah,
top,
yeah.
Maybe even top two.
Now, last couple of years, they have been unlucky with injuries. I mean, losing arguably your two best attacking threats and your two best young English players in Watson and Joseph for pretty much the whole of last season.
Falatau as a...
Yeah.
God. I've got Falatau.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I actually forgot about these monsters which they have, not even on the field. Goodness me.
Henry Thomas not fit.
Yeah, well.
Nathan Catt not fit.
Yeah, they are a remarkable squad of players. What's also remarkable, Reece Priestland's performance was remarkable.
It was remarkable. For all the wrong reasons. to not realise you're inside your own 22, call for a mark.
Oh, yeah.
So he
actually recovered that one very well.
He did. But then he had a penalty kick and missed touch. He dropped the ball, knocked it on, missed a kick that was very kickable.
Yeah, he dropped the ball underneath his own sticks. I mean, just garbage decision. Well, not decision-making, but errors. When you need someone like Reece Priestland, who I guess has a bit of a reputation, not well deserved, for being the steady Eddie behind Burns. You can't have him doing those sort of stupid things.
Well, it's an infection which runs through the team.
Do you think it comes? I mean, my view is it probably. I mean, there is an attitude problem at Bath. These players, you say, yeah, okay, they're executing their game plan. Well, they should.
I think it's my laptop.
Oh, yeah, cool. I was worried that was coming out of the headphones and we're getting a static noise. Fun. Sorry, JB, didn't mean to keep you off your flow.
That's okay. So they execute their game plan, as you said, which they should do because they're professionals, and then they lose it. But, you can see they're well coached because of the game plan. And it's clearly an attitude thing, and I think it comes right from the top. There's obviously something going on there, which means that these players are not responding or not trying as hard as they should do.
Did you see the Mail Online story that was, I think it was last weekend?
No, I didn't.
It suggested that, as you say, that there's issues or some sort of breakdown in trust or the relationship between players and top brass, which the club have denied there is any issue, but there is a story where allegedly the players aren't happy with how Todd Blackadder has been treated, and allegedly one of the Secret Santa gifts to Todd Blackadder from a player was a mug which said my boss is a
something very rude,
something very very rude.
Wow.
I would never say even in front of my own, especially not in front of my own mum, and that was aimed at people higher up the food chain. That wasn't a
so do you think he lost his job because he uses that mug in work?
Wow, this could be it. That could be why he's left a bit early.
I think I might get rid of him if he had. What do they do next? Because they're going to have Stuart Hooper as DOR, is he? Do you know what he is?
Yeah, well, I assume so. Or that equivalent, yeah. It hasn't been confirmed.
It's not been confirmed what his role will be.
It won't be a surprise. There won't be surprises.
So Gervin Dempsey's going to stay.
Yep.
Hatley. And another one?
Yeah, we'll see.
No others?
Well, we know about. I think Neil Hatley's been touted, hasn't he?
But
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Neil Hatley's a great coach, so that can only help. But I don't think it's great coaches that they need. I think it's an organisational change right at the top, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. There was chat actually at Sale. On Friday, about a certain Richard Cockerell being considered for the post. That'd be interesting.
Interesting.
Cockers to Bath, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, ooh. It would be. That would shake things up a bit.
Well, because Edinburgh, they're not even in the playoff for a Champions Cup spot.
And I think you can
They have ballsed it up in the league.
So they finished fifth in Conference B. Behind Scarlets and behind JB's beloved Benetton.
Yeah, who are the first ever Italian team to make any form of playoff ever.
Ever.
It does mean, as well, there will definitely be an Italian team in the Champions Cup, and there will also now definitely be a Welsh team in the Champions Cup, because the playoff between the two fourth positions is going to be between Ospreys and
Scarlets. Ospreys, who snuck a win away at Cardiff.
Yeah.
Wow.
A winner-takes-all game. So, Welsh rugby is in bad shape domestically.
They're always in bad shape domestically. They've had a tiny blip, a minute blip when Scarlets were semi-good for a little bit. That was it. It's over. It's never been good. And it's designed not to be good, because they don't. The idea behind Welsh rugby is a unique business model. You make everyone as miserable as possible domestically, right? And then when they go and play for their national team, they feel great.
They're so motivated
because they don't want to go back. That's the motivation.
And in doing so, to make them get the good, the Welsh national team, you now force them to have the bad Welsh domestic rugby.
There are journalists out there who do nothing but cover Welsh rugby, and they cover it in depth. I have so much respect for them, because it just must sap your soul. I mean, you must die a little bit every time you cover a Welsh match.
Well, that Judgment Day event seems like it's going quite well. That
they got 50,000 people.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Two good games.
We do now know the quarterfinal fixtures as well.
Please, enlighten us.
We do.
Which will be next weekend.
So Glasgow, who hammered Edinburgh, and I've got to mention, Glasgow put up a social media post and deleted it.
Hang on, be careful. I do like the people at Glasgow, so...
No, it was very funny. I think they should have kept it up there, but they took the tweet down. But the tweet that they put out, very, very late at night on... it was at 11:58 p.m.
Oh, no.
Last night. So it was several hours after the game.
Oh, wonder what they were doing. Recovery session.
And they tweeted, Glasgow Warriors tweeted, "These are for you, big bro." And then tagged at Edinburgh Rugby, and then it was a, and then they've got a picture of, I don't know what that is. Is that the Challenge Cup? Oh no! It's the picture of the 1872 trophy between the two clubs, and then it's a guidebook to Romania and Russia.
Wow, that's very
awesome.
Good.
It's very funny, isn't it?
That's a great tweet.
I thought it was very funny. They took it down though.
Oh, shame!
Yeah,
shame
well,
on
I
you.
Mean, well, there's a bit of that because. Did you ever see the Bath, Bristol, and Gloucester actually, but mainly Bath and Bristol kind of Anchorman style video that they did pre-season?
I think I did actually. It seems to be
it never got put up, but it was hilarious. It was amazing.
Why did they not put it up?
Because they're worried about how they're going to look.
Come on, guys!
All the men in suits get involved, and actually just have a bit of fun. I thought it was brilliant from Glasgow. So put the tweet back up.
Or we'll do
fun
it
with it. Yeah, it was very good. So anyway, but yes, you were saying the quarterfinals.
Yes, quarterfinals. So, it's called playoff quarterfinal. Yeah, because it's kind of a quarterfinal. You got to win that to go through to the semis, to go through to the final.
Semi-final eliminator.
It's so, like a wild card weekend, isn't it?
Leinster and Glasgow have secured their home semi-finals.
Yes.
Quarterfinals, so next Saturday... 3 o'clock, Munster hosts JB's beloved Benetton.
Going down hard, Munster.
might be a stretch too far.
I don't think so.
And Ulster hosts Connacht, that's going to be a very even game, actually.
That's going to be very difficult. Very difficult.
Yeah, that is not an easy game.
Watch that.
It'd be a great game, Matt.
Ulster, Connacht.
Bank holiday weekend, Belfast.
Yeah.
When is that game?
That is Saturday afternoon.
This Saturday.
Saturday, 5:30 on Saturday. But that will be even because... So Connacht and Ulster finished very similar position in the league at the end of the year. As in, Ulster finished on 63 points, Connacht finished on 61 points. Whereas Leinster, 76, Munster, 77 and Glasgow, 81 were all kind of a cut above with 15 and 16 wins. Whereas Connacht and Ulster both got, 12 and 13 wins. Mm. So I think that'll be a good game. Ulster at home, you'd hope, would edge it.
And then how does it work for the semi-final proper when you've got the eliminated teams? So let's just assume Munster and Ulster win. Who plays who?
So Munster would then travel, I think they would then travel to Leinster, and Ulster would travel to Glasgow. That's my assumption. But yeah, Glasgow and Leinster secured home semi-finals, so
And those must not be on the European Champions Cup final weekend because Leinster are obviously involved. So
they'll be the week after, I think. Because it's the 11th of May is the Champions Cup. So
it must be the 18th weekend, which is the final weekend of the Premiership.
Ooh,
when all the games kick off at the same time,
which will be Gloucester coming up to Sale.
Yeah, and Harlequins Wasps. I think is the last game. Wasps Harlequins is the last game, which could be very
interesting. That could be the fourth. Well, maybe the fourth place decider.
Well, let's talk about the fourth place in the Prem then, because that's really where it's at,
from what I can understand.
Yeah.
Well, Harlequins are doing everything they can to lose every game. They even had a 3-point winning kick from
Magic,
I don't know, 15 metres to the left of the post,
into a strong wind.
Into that Sandy Park wind, which is. Unique.
With Storm Hannah, which was particularly bad in the southwest.
But he had two kicks, one to the Charlie Walker try conversion,
yes,
which was about the same position on the other side, the right-hand side of the posts, right, which would have drawn the game. And then a few minutes after that, a winning penalty that he put wide.
It's amazing that we've only just started seeing Charlie Walker again, considering the season he had last year. And also the forgotten man.
Tim Visser.
Yeah.
He's fully fit, I assume.
Yeah.
He played A-League.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
a few weeks ago.
He was travelling
reserve. He travelled.
Travelling reserve. God, he must be so... I don't know what he's done, but it's serious.
yeah. But no, that's five defeats in a row for them. Yeah. They were 12 points clear of fifth place.
Yeah.
And only a month or so ago.
And they now find themselves residing in fifth place.
So I was lucky enough to watch the Exeter versus Harlequins game at the Stoop.
The reverse fixture.
Yeah, about Christmas time. Yeah. And I thought Harlequins looked the real deal. I thought if they could improve on that, it'd be brilliant, because the amount of energy that they brought to proceedings, they looked like a serious team. And what I'd say about this game is they opened up first 20 completely flat. And they just don't have that same vigour as he did at the start of the season.
But I would disagree with that, because in the last two games, against very tough opposition, away at Exeter and away at Claremont, they've shown it in the second half of games. So the energy, I don't think fitness is a concern.
Because no, it's not fitness.
Because they're strong towards the
end.
They've
got to start. I
put it all down on that kit. That green kit is an absolute abomination. Why are they wearing that kit? It makes no sense wearing it against Claremont. It makes no sense wearing it against Exeter.
And just let me just expand on that point. Right. Before I was into rugby, before I had any idea that really rugby existed, as a child, right, as a small boy, even then I was aware of the Harlequins kit. The Harlequins kit is one of the most iconic sports that...
Yeah, there's one.
There,
right,
yeah. Oh,
there. Your hand touching it.
I was looking for it as I'm holding it.
I've got one there and I've got one in there. Like, it is an iconic kit, and they should wear that as often as they possibly can. In those colours there, that is the NEC Harlequins one. Grey, red... light blue, brown. That's it. It's dead simple.
Yeah.
Dead simple. And
a bit of green on the... Yeah. But that... I mean, sleeve. There's very
and
few...
Black. Green and black on the sleeve.
There's very few teams that you wouldn't have... Like, that you don't need to wear that against.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not but like it clashes.
Yeah, it clashes so infrequently.
I've spoken about this many, many times, so I'll do it again. But... if I owned a team, I would only change the kits once every 5 years, and I'd have no sponsor, because I think I'd sell more. If you thought your team was going to wear the same kit for 5 years, you might go out and buy a kit.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. So anyway,
unless you want a 2005 Munster shirt to go with your brown suede loafers.
Yes.
Oh yes.
No, I need to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah.
For the summer.
So back past the point, you are 100% right. The green kit is awful, and Harlequin should stick to wearing their home kit as often as they can.
Yeah, they should. Yes. I'm sure, I think it would make a tangible difference.
Yeah, it would do.
In fact, I bet they've worn the green kit for the majority of the games in the last 5 weeks.
That they've lost, yeah.
I think psychologically, you can't feel great looking at your teammates in that, can you?
No.
Feel slightly sick, dizzy, confused.
Afraid. They do well to overcome it in second half.
Yeah, only lose by two points.
It is a mental thing with Harlequins, because, you know, like yesterday, the start was just not good enough.
But it's not a bad result to only lose by 2 points away at the Chiefs, but they'll be so frustrated that they found themselves, despite not really being in the game in the first half, they actually could have won this. And a big part of that is Exeter, certainly towards the end of the game, they were just compounding penalties on penalties on penalties, giving away stupid penalties, giving away scrum penalties, which is unusual for Exeter and unusual for Quinns to be winning scrum penalties. But that meant that Quinns had the shot, and they just couldn't take it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like when they played at Sale. I can't remember the exact score, but it was pretty much AJ McGinty scoring 10 kicks, something like that. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I don't think anyone wants that that fourth place, except for maybe Northampton, who I thought would do well about two or three weeks ago. I thought these guys are playing pretty nicely now. So I think...
Yeah, mate, there's no glory in waiting until a team is very, very close to being in fourth position and playing really well. And then going, hey, hear me now, believe me later, yeah, Northampton
everyone,
fourth.
Everyone.
Call it when they were in eighth or ninth.
Well, they've been slowly improving. And I just think that they are by far the form team. They're playing some of the nicest rugby in the league now. Going up to Newcastle and beating them, particularly in the situation Newcastle find themselves in, is no mean feat. They're going to be hard to shift.
That was a frustrating performance. I watched the extended highlights today of that Northampton-Newcastle game, and Newcastle started well, but their defensive line for the early tries, for Nairavoro breaking through and for Tom Collins and Reinert, the defensive shape was not good enough. Simply not good enough to afford guys like Collins and Nairavoro enough space to make the meters and score the tries that they did.
Was it like the Manchester United back four?
not quite as bad as that. But yeah, that it'll be frustrating because that I actually thought going into the game Newcastle were going to win that. I thought they'd keep it tight. I thought defensively they'd be better. I thought they could get an edge in the forwards and then grind out the win. But unfortunately, you give that Northampton back line a bit of time and space and they will cut you to ribbons. And Newcastle were... Did you see the last play of the game?
No. So
Newcastle were... They were playing for the draw, actually. They were 7 points down. Playing for the draw. They've got a line out on the halfway line. And off the top goes Newcastle, straight off the top, spin a wide pass to Toby Flood at 10. Intercepted by the scrum half, and he runs in 50 meters. So
he's had a
they would have had a one losing bonus point anyway. They were going for a draw, which would have given them two points, and they get nothing from that position, which is sickening for Newcastle.
Yeah, Toby Flood's had a few interceptions of late.
So that wasn't Flood.
No,
the scrum half got intercepted. It was a pass to Flood straight off the top. Plucked out of the air.
Oh, I wonder if Toby Flood will move on.
Good question.
Who would?
I don't think.
I think he retires personally.
I think he probably stays where he is.
He's probably on quite a good screw.
Yeah.
Got 1 or 2 years left on his contract, and he'll see them out.
Yeah, it's not as if he's desperate to get back in the England side.
Nah.
It's amazing to think like when he left the country, he was the nailed on number ten. And now, it would take something seismic for him to be. Where would he rate now?
Well,
he's not significantly worse player than what he was.
He might be in the top 10.
11th best fly half in the Prem? Starter?
Maybe.
Sounds harsh.
He might be in the top 10 England players. But even then, I don't think he would, because you get young guys, someone like Billy Searle. Assuming that he is English qualified,
Sale,
Redpath.
Yeah, they're probably all ahead of him.
What's the Wasps fly half who's injured at the moment? The young English lad.
Sale. You just said it. Is there another one?
Oh, sorry.
I'm thinking of Sheedy.
Yeah, sorry. Sale or Sheedy. Yeah, either one of those two.
Mm. One thing I forgot to mention when you were talking about the Munster game. Oh no, yeah, we talked about Monster Connacht.
Yep.
Did you see the sponsored sin bin?
No.
Oh yes, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
So it was Jeremy Luffman was sin binned, and so I've looked into this, and in Limerick there is a waste removal company called Bin Man, and
nice.
they've sponsored a sin bin that you sit in, a big plastic.
Awesome.
Sponsored bin man chair.
That's class.
Which is great. When I used to do the match announcement at Sale, it used to be, and everyone used to laugh every single time. Referee Wayne Barnes has shown a yellow card to, let me think of an old player who was playing then, a yellow card to Sale Sharks number 10, Nick McLeod. The Simbin is sponsored by, what was the motorcycle company? And you had to play a bit of music as well. It was like, bear to the bone.
Well, like Triumph or Ducati or Harley Davidson.
It was something Harley Davidson dealership in...
In Wilmslow.
Excellent. Bear to the bone. Yeah.
I'd love one of those Simbin chairs for in here, Tim. You could have that as your
Simbin chair.
Yeah, get a
rather
Simbin
than your
chair.
Posture correcting one, which I've got for you.
Get branding on the... On the YouTube channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Get one.
Yeah, they used to... Why don't they sponsor Simbins? It does seem like a golden opportunity. Although, I'm sure I saw one at Munster. Someone else has got one of these. It's basically a couch.
That was Munster.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, someone's got a couch, a big red couch. I kind of think, like, if you're Simbined, you shouldn't have a comfy chair.
Get in an actual bin. A wheelie bin.
Get in.
Brandon wheelie bin.
Yeah, my old Biff are all over this.
Because there are some brands that it would really suit.
Yeah.
Like the bad boy.
Well, I mean, one of the best bit of branding was the refs when they were sponsored by Specsavers. I don't know. Are they still sponsored by Specsavers?
That's a good shout.
Yeah, that was a few years. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So, you know, these opportunities, these commercial opportunities, guys, they are out there. Go and find them.
Yes, they are.
Other fixtures this week. We had a fairly routine win, Saracens against Wasps.
You were at the game, Rico. Yeah?
Saracens are looking bloody good. I mean, they didn't play. They were really unhappy with how they played, and they were dominant. They were totally dominant.
They didn't rest many players.
No, they didn't. They will. They'll change loads this week.
Mako didn't play. Interestingly, do you know if that was just a precaution?
Yeah,
or
it was precautionary. Him, Wigglesworth, and one other late change.
Maitland was it? No, he wasn't named, was he?
No, Michael Rhodes.
Rhodes, okay.
Yeah, all very precautionary, but they've earned that right. And they are guaranteed a home semi-final now that Gloucester went and lost. No, but Wasps just were poor. They were really poor, which is a shame after playing so well at Exeter.
Well,
and the defence...
Very waspy to do that.
The Wasps' defence for, well, the three Saracens tries, admittedly the Ben Spencer intercept, they couldn't have done much about, but Liam Williams and Skelton, they just kind of jogged in untouched. There was no one around them at all. The Liam Williams ones, which were just... Saracens just manufactured a nice two-on-one. Good. Pops it to Williams. Williams just jogged the last 20 metres in.
Yeah, well, you know my thoughts on Wasps, so I won't expand on that.
You hate them.
I hate Wasps so much. No, I don't hate Wasps. But they're not very good, and they're not very well coached. Mm. That is obvious. So I've got a few questions for you, Tim. First of all, Dominic Morris had his first game.
Yes.
Any good? Can you tell me anything about him?
Well, I've seen him play in the Premiership Cup. He's a good outside centre, promising guy. Just something like the 58th Saracens Academy player to play for the first team in the last...
Wow.
However many years?
Start.
How many years was that? Last 6 or 7 years? Or maybe 8, 9 years, or whatever. Anyway, in recent history, he's the 58th guy. So he's just part of the production line. So they've all got really good basic skills. They're all...
clued into what they're doing.
They're all quality players. They all understand the system, so they can slot in easily. He's a decent player.
I think there was eight or nine...
Academy products in that starting 15.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good.
Tompkins.
Farrell.
Spencer. George.
Chris.
Itoji. Yeah.
Not bad. And Billy Vunipola, did he get man of the match?
He didn't, no.
Oh, what a shame. You could have interviewed him.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
Anyway.
I'd like that. I'd love to have chatted to Billy about rugby. And
rugby.
And things that
actually matter.
Well, I didn't say that. But yeah. I didn't say that.
Rugby.
It's not my opinion.
anything else from the game as you were there? Give me some insights.
I still haven't had the guts to ask Dai Young what his collar size is. Actually, he wasn't wearing number ones this week at home.
Was he not?
I went, Dai, you're not wearing number ones. Well, it's bloody freezing. I'm not going to wear it, that's why. Not really a lot to report. It was not a very great game. It was
routine for Saracens.
The one I missed, because I was taking the kids today, because I've been away for like a month basically. I've been here doing this podcast in the Rugby Dungeon for the last 2 weeks. I don't feel like I've been at home forever. So I took the kids to see Avengers Endgame today.
Any good?
Very good.
Oh, excellent.
Really very good.
Oh, I've got a question for you. That's a really important question, so switch on. Who's going to stay up and watch Game of Thrones live?
The Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah.
No spoilers, please. Still not caught up yet.
That's fine. So,
well,
okay.
I feel it's going to be... I'm not going to spoil it.
It's a 90-minute episode.
It's a 90-minute episode.
Is it?
I feel it's going to be a cultural event.
Yeah, I think you're right. Problem is, I'm covering someone else's show tomorrow morning, at 10 till 1.
Oh, okay.
So we've arranged for some friends to come over and we're all going to watch it together. Is that really sad? We're having a Game of Thrones gathering. That's quite sad.
People
are
doing this, aren't they? They're going to cinemas to watch it.
Because
for
exactly the reason you said, it's a like, cultural moment. This feels like a big moment.
Rather than
watching it and like WhatsApping each other, do you just want to come over and watch it?
One of the bars that we were drinking it in Prague.
That's the one. That's what I was thinking of.
Advertising that they have Game of Thrones Monday nights.
Wow.
And they air it at whatever time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Monday nights.
Yeah, I knew I was thinking of something, and that was it, Phil. Yeah, I feel a little bit sort of let down, really. I mean, some generations have a cultural event like the moon landing, and we've got the bloody Battle of Winterfell.
What's rugby? The only rugby cultural events there's been is Johnny Wilkinson drop goal.
100%.
That's the moment. Everyone can remember where they were.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in a pub in Bristol.
It was like having 9 breakfast. In the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
yeah, was yeah. Great. I love morning rugby.
I played after that against Reading.
Did you?
Yeah. In the afternoon. So we watched the game, then I caught a bus to go to the game.
I'm trying to think of other big... I mean, that's so far ahead of anything else. I can't really... There's nothing really that compares.
No, there's nothing else. Oh, Lions.
Lions, but how many... I mean, the most recent Lions was obviously a draw, but how many Lions have been decided by, like, a single moment at the last second of the...
And also, the Lions test? Is great, but not everybody's invested. Yeah. I mean, you could walk around Manchester and more than half, 90% of people wouldn't even know it's been played.
Yeah.
Whereas the World Cup, everything ground to a stop. Yeah, it's the World Cup.
It's that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All we've got since 2003, 16 years later, is an episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Perfect.
And I've got to say, the New View Cinema at the Lowry is outstanding.
Isn't it?
I thought I must have accidentally got some cheaper tickets for a better... But every seat's a big recliner.
Oh, and really?
Electric buttons, big armrests, swivel table that comes around in front of you.
That wow. Really cool.
It's very good.
That's awesome.
So if we could get some rugby games on in there, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Nice. Well...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A battle which did take place today. What a segue that is.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch this one at all.
It was a cracking game.
Yeah,
it was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gloucester will be frustrated. I mean, they have secured top four anyway, but Gloucester will be frustrated that they missed this opportunity. But conversely, Worcester played bloody well.
Worcester are a good team.
Worcester are a genuinely good team. The biggest problem for Worcester is the number of players they're losing this year.
I just can't work it out. I mean, apparently there's some funding issues, as in, you know, the owner wants it sold. That's the first thing.
Well, haven't they got new ownership? They were going to build a casino and a hotel and...
Good question.
...all this sort of thing. That was earlier in the season, wasn't it?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, they've been taken over by a consortium. With Dave Seymour on the board, advising about rugby. Don't ask me about that, I don't know. But I think there's some uncertainty about, you know, who's going to go, who's going to stay. So players who are coming up to renewal have gone. People like Berry's gone to Newcastle.
Tail
will be off, don't know where yet. Do you know where? Have you heard anything?
No, there was some rumour about Gloucester today.
Gloucester's been talked about, yeah.
They don't need another 12 there. They don't need another massive 12, so...
But Bryce Heem, gone. Josh Adams, gone. Jack Singleton, gone.
Yeah. Where's Adams going? Ospreys?
Cardiff.
Oh, that's a good signing. Very good signing, actually.
Josh Adams to Cardiff. Bryce Heem goes to Toulon.
Nice. Yeah, so you know they've done really well. This is the best Worcester team I've seen for a long time. They play nice. Solomon's got to take a ton of credit for this. You know, he's got a good coach in Rory Duncan.
Yeah.
Everyone, including myself, thought it was completely the wrong option to sign him. You know, an older fella, we kind of know what he is. But he's exactly what they've needed. You know, I think they won 7 games now. And the scary thing is, someone might get relegated this year, having won 8 games.
Well, yeah, someone could... am I right in saying that the team in 5th or 6th has only won 9 games?
Yes, Quins have won 9.
Yeah, Quins in
Quins
have
Wasps
won 9 games.
Have won 9 games.
And Worcester have
Worcester
won
8.
So, absolutely bonkers.
Isn't it?
But it does go to show, because Sale have won a game more than Quins.
Yeah.
But just haven't got any bonus points. They've only had 2 try bonus points the whole season.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
Only Newcastle have scored fewer points and fewer try bonus points.
Yeah.
You told me that on Friday, and I was aghast that that could be the case, because... Well, because Sale are simply the best team with ball in hand.
Or the second worst team with ball in hand in the league.
An interesting point, which was made, I've got to say, Paul Grayson is one of the best rugby minds.
Yeah, Grayson is very, very good.
And he was working on Friday night, and just picking his brain and listening to his thoughts is interesting. And he kind of highlighted that Sale have the highest line-out percentage in the league, I think, or very close to it, if not the highest. But actually, they, and this is one thing, this is why there are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yes,
you don't just go on statistics. You go with your eyes and your gut as well, because they might win the highest percentage. But if you chuck a man up at 2 all the time, you're going to get a really high percentage. But you're not going to threaten. And when you've got guys like Denny Solomona, Chris Ashton, Marlon Yard, obviously hasn't been available, but you've got those weapons. Front ball does nothing for you. So
yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, this is one of my chief bugbears, which people are just saying, win your ball. Don't just win your ball. If you go to the front, you've effectively, in my mind, tell me if you think I'm wrong, you've got them all it. Right, you've got them all it because there's nothing else to be done.
No, your 10's going to get absolutely marmalised by 2 flankers.
Yeah.
Just
So, you know, you've got to use the 10. I'd rather lose 1 in 3, like completely just, you know, overthrow it or get it stolen, and go to the back every time. Win two-thirds of your ball. That would be a far better outcome than having to hit the front
every
time. It would
be interesting to sort of analyse when you look at Exeter and how they play it, or you look at Northampton, who are scoring freely at the minute, and even Worcester in the last few weeks. And I bet that there's a bit of that going on.
Yeah, and also, if you start compressing your line-out and you're hitting the front and all the middle continually, you become very easy to work out. You know, you need variation anyway. It doesn't matter how much movement or how many dummies you have in the middle or the front. If you go into the middle of the front, you just mark up the middle and the front. It's difficult to do that over and over again. So, yeah, variation is key.
Well, Dorian West has just signed a new contract. So
2 years.
Can look forward to more front ball, more consistent.
Well, if they maul,
good statistics.
They're all quite good at mauling now. But, you know, what? Sale are good at mauling. They've always been good at mauling.
And having Lude Jaeger come in next season.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to assist that line out and mauling position somewhat.
6'9", I think he is.
Yep, he is.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
He is a seriously big boy.
Yeah, that's going to be Lou Dieger, Mark Wilson. Any others?
Acker van der Merwe, 3 Dupreers.
Crikey. It's going to be an interesting team next year.
Acker van der Merwe as well is so aggressive.
Yeah. I've never
He will be a penalty machine as well.
He'll be kicking?
Not kicking. Yellow cards and penalties.
Oh, right. Oh, that's not
that,
so good.
That kind of penalty machine.
Rob Webber.
Right.
He's superb.
Here's a question. Is there a worse bit of business in rugby? I'm not talking about Ben Teo for once, because that is right up there. But is there a worse bit of business than keeping Tom Youngs, Tatafu Palotta now, and George McGuigan on Big Wedge?
Oh, I know the answer.
And letting Harry Thacker go to Bristol?
I think I know this one. I think I know. No, there is not a worse bit of business.
Dreadful bit of business.
Oh, just the garbage foresight by Tigers there. They're also on my naughty list with Bath and Harlequins. It's awful. I mean, basically, Palotta now is a guy who...
Palotta now is good.
No. He is good, right? But he's the guy that Matt O'Connor wanted. And, you know, that's effectively the only reason that he came over. There was no long-term planning, was there, when they could have kept McGuigan, when they could have kept... Thacker.
Thacker.
You know, it was just, OK, I want that player, I want him now. International, older, and it must cost a fortune.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke.
And the interesting thing about letting Thacker go as well is they've subsequently bought in, so just looking at the Leicester hookers, so they've got Youngs, Plotter now, Jimmy Stevens, Ross McMillan and Jake Kerr. So they've brought in, they let Thacker go, bring in 3 guys hoping that one of them ends up being half as good as Thacker.
Yeah.
which is crackers.
And they knew Thacker was good.
Yeah.
I mean, they've always liked him. They could play him in like back row. He's gone to Bristol. He's absolute dynamite.
Play him in the centres if you want to.
Yeah. But they just bad squad management. They've had issues managing their cap for God knows how long. We were talking about this before the podcast, actually. And they find themselves in a very strange situation because they've built not only the team piecemeal, but also the coaching structure piecemeal. So, you know, Jordan Murphy was not designed to work with Mike Ford. And Mark Bakewell was not designed to work with Jordan Murphy. They keep on trying to patch up the situation rather than just starting completely from scratch, which is exactly what they should do.
Yeah, but we're going to get another period like that. But this game...
Just one more thing. Go on.
They've also bought in Pat Howard now for 3 months. So think of all these people.
3 months?
Yeah, 3 months he's in for. He's not... It's not a long-term signing. I don't know why he's there, a consultant of some sort. But you think about this, okay? You've got Mike Ford, who's going to want his two-penneth. You've got Mark Bakewell, who's a senior guy. Then you've got the guy who's in charge, Jordan Murphy, but he's not actually in charge of the rugby stuff. That falls with Jed Glynn and Simon Cohen. And now you've got another guy who, as a coach and a player, has won things with Leicester Tigers, and he's in the mix. What's the strategy?
Draw that. Hierarchy. Jeez,
it's very flat, and everyone reports up and down to the same people. Probably.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, they're either reinventing the wheel, and next year they're going to be untouchable, or, as I suspect, it's not going to end well.
I can tell you that is not going to happen.
Wow.
But this game.
Well, it just on
the value. I'm making the value
on the Thacker thing. I was going to say it's one of those examples, and you see this happen every now and again. The glass half full versus the glass half empty. Leicester looked at Harry Thacker and looked at what he couldn't do. Pat Lam looked at Harry Thacker and said, there's some really special things that guy can do. Let's make the most of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the glass half full approach will always win over a glass half empty because you're engineering opportunities for the things that are special. And
is Eddie Jones a half full or a half empty guy?
I think he's a little bit of both, actually. He can be both at different times. With players he doesn't like, it's the half empty.
Yeah.
Like, because he never had a look at Christian Wade.
No.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even entertain
Turns
him.
Turns out he was right on that.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. He won't look at Don Armand. Because
ridiculous.
Because he couldn't run through heavy traffic, apparently.
Yeah. I still
Danny
think...
Cipriani, he doesn't look at... He looks at what Danny Cipriani can't do.
Or does he look at what Owen Farrell can do and say... That, I mean, that's the thing with the Owen Farrell situation, isn't it? That obviously Danny's not in there because he just doesn't get on particularly well with Owen Farrell, is what I read it. So he's not just picking... It's not just a case of he picks Farrell for what he can do. It also distorts everything else and means that Cipriani doesn't get picked.
That is interesting. I just... Would Eddie Jones let any one player have that much power?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Farrell. Farrell's got,
I think you're
keys.
I think you're reading in too much
Farrell's
to that.
Farrell's got the keys to the car.
You are reading in way too much.
Gatland, half full or half empty?
Oh, he's a half full guy.
Half full.
Because he looks at Thomas Francis and goes, well, the scrum's not going to move. Maybe we can work on his fitness.
Well, yeah. Originally he looked at him and said, well, in 2 years' time, maybe the scrum won't move.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Gatland has to be a glass half full kind of guy because he's not got the embarrassment of riches in player depth.
And look at Leicester.
Yeah.
They actually have got that mentality of being, in like club terms, what England are in international terms. We are Leicester.
Yeah.
So we can pick and choose. So if we have a guy that we don't think can scrummage well enough,
yeah,
well, we can find someone that can. Because we're Leicester.
Yeah,
Leicester.
There's some arrogance to it, isn't there?
Yeah, which justifiable because of
the history
and the heritage.
I could walk into Leicester tomorrow and turn that ship around tomorrow.
I'd love to see it.
It'd be simple. I'd be winning. First year we'd be top four, and then probably then we get the title.
What other players?
Then the double.
Then the double.
What other players in like sound like Napoleon Dynamite have
great skills?
What a good value, is that the question?
Well, just have like special talents that maybe get overlooked or
well, okay. The way you know this,
celebrated
okay.
Enough.
So the way you know is a player special is would you coach them to do that? And the answer is yes, and they're not special. So, for instance, you would never teach someone to play like Faf de Klerk because it's insane. You would never teach anyone to play like Sonotti Sonotti.
Yeah. Yeah,
you just couldn't do that, could you?
Yeah, you wouldn't. Right, I've got. You can't imagine Rob Baxter going. Right, I've got a drill today, boys. Where I want the back three catch the ball, run backwards a bit, then I want you to sidestep five yards backwards.
Yeah. More.
But that's just Cordero, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how you know that they're special because you know Carlos Spencer.
But the guys we're talking about here, so someone like Sonotti is. Virtual or positive, he doesn't have any massive glaring weaknesses. Mm. I mean, maybe his distribution isn't brilliant, but yeah. No one's picking wingers for that. But someone like Simpson Daniel or Rocco Degouni, yes. Who have massive perceived defensive. Well, Chris Ashton actually,
but those last two. Chris Ashton, Rocco Degouni, nonsense. They are good.
Rocco Degouni's defence is not great.
Well, as in like his tackling or his positioning.
A bit of both.
I think it's more, goal, right?
More his positioning and reading of
Denny
it.
Denny Solomona is probably the same.
Denny's a good point. I reckon Denny Solomona is probably the best winger in the Premiership now.
If Denny Solomona were Welsh, Warren Gatland would have engineered opportunities to make the most of him.
Oh, yeah. Denny is
but
so
then
good.
But Eddie Jones has 10 other wingers that he can pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big difference. It'd be so interesting to see if Gatland gets the opportunity to be a glass half empty kind of guy to only pick.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to know?
That is interesting.
Would you like to know who the French coaching setup are?
What's going on with Sean Edwards?
Galtier has been announced.
Ibanez team manager.
Yeah, so do you know if this is in the is this in the public domain though?
I think the yes. Ibanez team manager is, and Sean Edwards is considering a job offer.
Galtier has been confirmed as well today.
Laporte
has confirmed it today.
Brilliant.
I'm pretty sure Galtier was described by Jim Hamilton as a complete cowboy. I'll need to check on that.
Well, he seems all right.
He's currently Toulon coach, and they're not exactly.
He's retweeted me a few times. He's obviously got a good taste. He obviously knows what he's talking about. Someone talk me through how Sean Edwards works. Like you talk about, he's sort of in danger of coming across slightly cowboyish. In yes, I'll accept that job.
I don't like.
Oh no, I'm
going
to go and talk to someone else. Now I'll just put that one on ice, and then
he
said yes and no to lots of people by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I heard he was staying at the WRU, and then he should have taken the Wigan job. He made a commitment to Wigan. He should have taken that job, and it sounds like he's just backed out of it. And the excuses,
if he doesn't want to do it, that's fine.
Yeah,
but
like, just the excuses.
If he'd said I don't want to, yeah, it's the. Oh, I've had another offer. Oh,
yeah. Only if you're going to do something like that, okay, it happens, right? But own the decision. Just say, look, I didn't want to do it because I'm going to get more money working in France or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, I forgot how hard it was to prepare for a World Cup and therefore I couldn't watch enough NRL. So it wouldn't be moral for me to take this low paid job.
And I was waiting for you, and you didn't send the contract in time. So maybe now I'm.
So I just assumed it wasn't happening because that's what happens, right? So.
Yeah,
he will be joined allegedly by, I can't say his name, Ghazel,
Gazelle
from Lyon, who apparently is a very good lineup coach. Labit from Racing,
Laurent Labit,
and William Servat
from Servat
Toulouse,
the old hooker.
Yeah, so they've got some names there. Whether they can make it work or not, I don't know.
But yeah, France's problem historically has not been. Getting the names, because they've always had the players and the coaches, they've always had the names. It's, I mean, the immediate thing that with that kind of, you're combining people who've been like head coaches or DORs into different positions, so they've previously had complete control, and now like Labit is going to be backs coach or skills coach,
yeah.
So it seems like a recipe for disaster doing that.
Well, I mean, if Sean Edwards were to take that, it's pretty cool, because all he's got to actually learn is, like, three words, hasn't he?
Line, speed, now.
Défense.
Vitesse de la ligne.
What's that?
That's line speed.
There you go.
Vitesse de la ligne. And what else has he got to learn?
Defence.
Line speed and... What is it?
I've got no idea. I just know line speed. That's the only
and
thing.
And What, no, is it, there's another word.
Wolves. He needs to learn about wolves.
Okay, what's wolves?
Loo. Loo. Oh, yeah, it would be.
Because Lupin and...
Well, look, well,
Loo.
Leon.
Yeah.
Or a wolf. Ah. Is it
Leloo?
Ah.
Yeah, and isn't it like intensity or something like that?
Intensity, enthusiasm.
Intensity. What do you reckon it is? Guess.
I have no idea.
Intensité.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
Nice.
Intensité de la ligne. Intensité. There you go. You need a job.
Well, yeah, what we're going to do, work on line speed today. I'm going to bring in some wolves. There you go. Again, that's another job. Not only can I turn around Leicester Tigers, I could also teach the French to defend pretty easily. Line speed. Just more line speed. There is another one. What is the other one? How have I forgotten half of
line
coaching defence?
And... Yeah, what is it? This is your little thing about defence.
Yeah, the easiest job in the world. Just, you know... More attitude, more line speed. Oh, well.
Let's learn collision as well in French.
Oh, win the collision. That's it. Line speed, win the collision. Done. Collision.
Yes. There you go, easy.
Collision.
What's win the collision? Let's do that. Win the collision. Gagner la collision.
Gagner la collision.
There you go.
There we go. Perfect. If you want to pay me that 300k, I'll happily come over. But pay me off. Right, I can't... Oh, would it massively shock you if you heard Philippe Saint-André might go to Leicester Tigers? Would that be a thing?
That
which
would shock me, yeah.
Right, okay, well, just look out for that, because that's another thing which has been circulated.
Oh, my word.
Oof.
No, surely not.
That
frying pan? Fire?
Yeah, that could be...
No, I'm not having that.
Well, just watch your space.
No.
It seems completely crackers, but some of the decision-making that Leicester have... done in the last few years has also been...
I've got no idea.
Presumably DOR.
DOR, it can't be coach. It can't be coach. It simply can't be.
No.
I believe it when I see it. It would be completely crackers.
Yeah.
Is your season finished, by the way?
Finished two, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, did it? Because like the domestic season in below Premiership finished this weekend.
It did it?
So London Irish obviously confirmed, promoted... Newcastle will probably Newcastle, possibly Leicester, but it's going to be Newcastle, will be playing at Ampt Hill next season.
Oh, did they go up?
They've
congratulations,
been
Ampt
confirmed
Hill.
From National One. One thing that some people have sort of thought was a bit off is the way Hartbury have avoided relegation from the Championship.
Interesting. I was not aware of
just
this.
Just towards the end of the season, loaning in a huge amount of players from Gloucester.
I did notice
Bristol,
a couple of their team sheets. Yeah,
been
and
for them
Ludlam, or
he's
Ludlow.
A cracking player.
Ludlam,
yeah. A cracking player.
And a few players from Bristol. They got in. There was one particular big crunch game. I think it might have been against Richmond, and all of a sudden it was like, hold on, that team sheet's full of Premiership players.
Well, you've got to do what you've got to do. It's a professional sport, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just like... there are the laws and there's the spirit. And when the RFU said you can have up to 10 dual-registered players, they meant in a squad for a season, I think, not just get them in
for one game.
Yeah, but, you know, if it was amateur, I'd be pretty outraged. But it is professional, semi-professional, I guess.
Mm.
It is a little bit naughty. They are actually just a university.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
So what if you go down an extra level? You know, work your way back up. It's not the end of the world. It's not like they're relying on gate receipts or anything.
No, so. But they have a Championship platform to be able to play their Gloucester players in when they're coming back from injury or when they're not getting game time, because the A-League is a joke. So.
Yeah, it is. When we have... when we have a bit more time in the off-season, not that we will have any time because of the World Cup around the corner, we should discuss basically my plans to save lower league rugby and the restructures of... the restructure of the game below the Premiership, which needs to happen immediately, frankly.
So you're going to save Leicester Tigers, you're going to save France, you're going to save Bath, and you're going to save English rugby.
Those first three are easy compared to dealing with lower league rugby teams, believe you me. Yeah, a few more things. I think Manchester went got relegated last weekend.
Really?
Yep.
Did they?
My previous team.
Yep.
What? I thought they were comfortably mid table. Now they sort of found their level.
It was a little
level 7 of the game. I was Manchester when they were level 2.
Wow, that's amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
And I played against them in level two. And in level three, the year that they lost all their players and they lost every single game by between 80 and 100 points.
And continuously every single game between 80.
The tier below that.
Why they didn't just cancel
everything? Fair play.
They've gone out and up from the bottom of the league.
But they pretty much did that anyway.
But massive fair play to some of the lads who played during that period of time.
I'm sure there's a couple of lads who actually are still playing now.
There's
a handful of them, sure.
Yeah, there was a handful of them, but there was a couple of guys that, because I was there at Manchester at that point, and there were guys that were in the second or thirds who ended up being first team regulars
and just getting pumped.
Professional,
you've got to love your
semi-professional players. They were getting hammered.
You've got to love your club to stay through that.
Yeah,
fair play. So anyway, they've got relegated, but it was a little bit like the Premiership in terms of the bottom two in that league went down early doors. They were rubbish, and then the third place team, I think they might have lost, they might have won like 10 games. So it's not a bad team as such, just ferociously
competitive. I was just trying to look if anyone had a perfect league campaign. I know Bournemouth came close; they won 25 out of 26.
Ooh, that's good. I bet London Welsh have.
What league are they in?
They're going down to the bottom, haven't they?
Yeah, London Welsh are now level 6 or level 7.
Ooh.
And they've got Tom May playing for them.
Tom May's still playing?
Yeah, yeah. He's in awesome shape, obviously.
He's always been in awesome shape.
He's even in more awesome shape. what else happened? Ultram Kursel, led by Sail Sharks' very own Cameron Neild, got promoted to level 6.
Did Bowden go up? No.
There's an interesting turf war going on with players coaching lower level teams against each other's teams.
Yeah. They are so into it. So Byron McGuigan coaches Bowden. Sam James is at Manchester. You got Cameron Neild, who is at Ultram Kursel. And those two, Byron and Cam Neild, are well into it. You've got AJ McGinty, who's at Sedgley Park. What they've missed, obviously, is myself, who's at Talk H, who would spank all of them. so we will be proving this when Baron McGuigan brings his Bowden team to Simon Field, and we will spank them.
I can't wait to see that.
It's going to be
if you boys play like the one game that I saw you play against Oldham, you are going to be absolutely hammered.
Can we do...
No, we'll not get hammered.
Will that be a pre-season match?
Yeah, it'll be pre-season.
Right, we should do an Egg Chasers podcast from there. We'll just do a pod. We can get JB and Byron McGuigan's thoughts during the match.
Yeah.
I'll probably be playing.
No, you won't.
I probably would. Maybe someone needs to hold up that scrum. Yeah. It's not going to hold itself up.
Well, speaking of low-level rugby, well, you two are hobnobbing it on Friday night. I turned out for the Broughton Park Vets team.
Did you?
Yeah, against Sail FC.
Oh, you gave them a good hiding, didn't you?
Well, it was quite interesting because we had a right ragtag bunch. There's some handy players and some less so handy players. They looked like they were going to be a good team. They had a big old pack, couple of big second rows.
This is what I love about lower level rugby. There are teams you go to when you see them warming up. They look really good.
Well, they had a coach. They were taking it seriously. They had a back line that was definitely younger than our back line.
Well, here's the point I made about Sale. Right, what we forget about Sale FC is they didn't used to be particularly good. So we're playing against the veterans, the old guys who weren't particularly good when they were good. So there's never going to be a brilliant team.
Yeah, it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah.
How many tries did you score this time?
Four this week.
Oh, my word, Phil. Five last time.
Nine in two games, although it might be my last game for a while, because each of the four were from 50 yards out, and as I was jogging in the last 20 metres. On the last one, I pulled my hamstring.
Oh, mate.
I had to hop the last 10 metres.
I think the only thing better than scoring a 50-yard try is not scoring a 50-yard try, because you don't care. You give the ball to someone else.
Who was the guy? Andrew Conway?
Oh, Conway, yeah.
He did a Freddie Burns.
Freddie Burns. He didn't make a mistake, though, did he, JB?
No.
Not a mistake, but...
It wasn't a mistake.
He got caught, didn't he? Over the try line, jogging in.
I've held someone up over the try line once, who was jogging in, and that was so rewarding.
I remember about under 10s doing that and picking him up and throwing him out over the dead ball line. Like kind of pushing and lifting him out over the dead ball line.
That happened to Will Carling, famously.
It did in the 7.
I want to say it was...
Scottish.
London Scottish, was it? Right, I thought it was Leicester. I had a player called Lockheed in my mind.
Sevens.
Was it? I thought it was game 15s. Still glorious to watch Will Carling being lifted up.
I've done this several times down the years, but I was always quite... maybe it's just I'm a bit of a nose, but I knew all the laws. So I scored a try before where they set up a driving mall. We didn't compete. I ran round the back, grabbed the ball out the back, and ran and scored. I've scored a try.
It's all
about
the spirit
before.
Of the game, Tim. What? That is not the spirit of the game.
Why not?
It's just not.
That's in the spirit of the game.
I hate that so much.
That's in the spirit of the game. Well, then don't set up a driving mall when you're not against anyone. Anyway, and then the other one is when there's like a 5 meter. In fact, there was a try like this sometime recently where you have a ruck near your own line and you roll the ball back, and as soon as it's on or over the line, the scrum half has it on or over the line, there's no offside line.
Yeah,
it's free.
I've got it dotted down. Yeah, I've seen that. That's just sensible. You're just exploiting the laws.
I'll tell you a few which I've seen recently. Obviously, the no contest at driving line up is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I have no time for that. I was playing
what
Liverpool.
You mean you have no time
I have
for
no
that.
Time for that.
Why not?
Face arm or like a man? But okay, fine. The other one, right? This I couldn't believe that this was happening. We were playing West Park St Helens and we were setting up scrum, and they were setting up slightly differently. And they were like resting back on their heels. And when we went down crouch bind set, on one of the calls, they sort of pulled us on. They'd obviously practiced this, of falling backwards and in unison going, "Sir, early engage." And like, of all the things to practice, and it was a critical, to be fair, it worked a treat. The referee said, "Early engage, free kick, West Box at Helens." I thought, of all the things to practice, sneaky or what?
There's the other one where you deliberately try and walk backwards and spin it to make it look like the other team are walking the scrum round.
Dangerous game, that. Dangerous game. You might just get pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, yeah, they practice that for that one critical scrum. So, pretty niche, but... Yeah.
That's very thorough.
A begrudging respect for that.
But you hate me for understanding the laws and running around the back of a mall.
Completely different.
Well, not even a mall.
Completely. Of course, we can't have any fun now, can we? Because TMO would pick it up. And we'd never have legends like Neil Back cheating his way to a European Cup fight. European Cup or... Mm. Yeah, best TMOs. Right. I think I feel waffled on quite
yes,
a lot there.
Yes, games.
Games next week. So we've already touched on the quarterfinal playoffs, so we'll briefly go through predictions. So Munster hosting Benetton, which JB thinks is a big win for Benetton.
Huge win, bonus point.
I would love nothing more than to see Benetton win that one.
Why are you a bit down on Munster fans?
There was an article in the rugby paper today.
Okay, yeah, go on.
There was an article in the rugby paper today. Someone else finding an excuse to have a pop at Nick Mullins, saying... because I think Nick Mullins made a comment during the Munster game, like, "Oh, your heart bleeds for the Munster fans," and there was I think Nick Kane was the commentator going, "Why did he say that? Why? They're not very nice. The Munster fans aren't very nice. Why would your heart bleed for them? They're not nice."
Shut the lovely individuals.
Yeah, and I noticed that this weekend, even like the only comments, and there weren't many, but the only comments which popped up on Twitter.
Go on.
After interviewing Mark McCall and mentioning, you know, Billy Van Der Poel has been booed recently. Are you, anyway, so I asked him a couple of questions on it. The only then criticism, when you do actually ask probing questions on a topic like that, no one says, "Oh, thank you for asking the questions," which I really... the only people that pipe up are the ones that go in, "Oh, just leave it alone. Just leave the Billy Van Der Poel thing alone."
Yeah, exactly.
People love to...
They love to whinge, don't they? I never understand why Austin Healey goes through his Twitter at half-time. That sounds, seems like... Because he does that quite frequently. When you're in the public eye like you are, or Austin is, or anyone doing BC Sport, you're going to have a couple of idiots always saying something.
Yeah, they'll always be morons.
Water off a duck's back with me, I know, anyway.
Mm. I was going to say...
Munster.
Sorry, just before we go on from that, did you manage to talk much to Mark McCall before the game?
No.
Do you have any access to him?
No, and you know, he's. I think what you see is what you get with it. With him, he's.
That simply can't be right.
No, on game day, yeah. I don't know. I've never stood and had any significant length chat with him. He's busy. He's doing what he does, but he's a very. He's a very workmanlike guy, isn't he? Gets on, does what he needs to do.
I was thinking, driving...
Seriously good coach. I'd have him for the Lions.
Well, driving to the AJ Bell, I was thinking, who would I most like to actually get to know a bit more about? Obviously, Rob Baxter, because he's Rob Baxter. But Mark McCall, like, when you actually get in front of him, he doesn't give much away.
No.
Like, there's obviously so much more to the man than what we get. Absolutely. How can it not be? He might have three European Cups to his name by, you know, the end of the month. Or
and
next
him
month.
And Alex Sanderson are like a perfect buddy cop movie.
Yes. Ying and Yang. Yeah.
I would imagine if they were going to rewrite that movie again, though, Alex Sanderson would probably work alone. A partner would only slow him down. That kind of cop.
Yeah, he's a lone wolf.
Yeah. You wouldn't understand. Sometimes we've got to cut corners. That kind of cop.
So everyone, apart from JB, is saying Munster.
Yeah, I would. It's going to be Munster.
It's going to be true. I love
a great 100%. Underdog story, but I can't see it.
No, they've been good all season. They are a serious outfit. They're up front, they are absolute no joke. Lineouts, mauls, scrums. They've got a pretty good foundation, and they've got lads that can play a bit too.
To see Ian McKinley go back to Leinster for the semi-final would be pretty special, but not yeah. happening.
It's going to happen.
This is good for Italian rugby because, I mean, you talk about like Six Nations games and high pressure games. The vast majority of that Italian squad, other than Parise, Giraldini, and maybe Campagnaro, have never played a game of knockout rugby at this
That's
kind
amazing.
Of level.
Yeah, you're right.
So just being there will be good not only for Benetton. Next season, like you saw Exeter when they got to their first English Cup final, when Saracens got to their first European Cup final, they weren't as good, but they improved, so the experience will be massive for Benetton and for Italy. So yeah. it's a good, really good thing.
I think this is far more significant, this next game coming up for Benetton, for Italian rugby, than anything which happened in Six Nations. This is far more meaningful.
I think you could be right. And the other game is Ulster hosting Connacht, which I think will be very close.
Connacht
are no mugs at all, but Ulster are playing some good rugby.
They were able to rest up, whereas Connacht kind of went in. I mean, it's interesting how many first teamers Connacht put in that game at the weekend against Munster.
Yeah.
I suppose there's only they know there's only two more games left after this maximum. So, three. Anyway,
two more after this because it's semi and final.
Yeah.
Okay, Gallagher Premiership.
Here we go.
So yes. Friday night we've got two games. Bristol host Sale.
Is that on BT?
Surely Quinn's Tigers will be.
Well, I think after this week, Sale earned Tigers. The right. It's going to be on TV again.
It's Quinn's Tigers.
So Bristol Sale, home win.
Home win.
Bristol Sale, no Sale win.
Bristol playing some lovely
matter.
Stuff.
Sale will win
Sale,
that.
Yeah.
Sale will win that.
And also Bristol. It's Bristol's last home game, so.
Yeah. That place will be bouncing, actually. It is a good stadium.
It's their last home game.
Sale win it.
They'll be on the up. I mean, they didn't have to win this weekend, and they did.
Bristol mathematically could get. Well, they could get top six. They could actually mathematically get top four.
The thing is, how does it work? If you end up getting seventh, which is still conceivable for Bristol, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Then Saracens win the Champions Cup. Do you not get an extra Champions Cup spot?
Yes.
Maybe?
I think you do.
So, seventh.
That's impressive.
So, seventh, and Pat Lam could achieve his aim of Champions Cup.
Yeah, that's very
That would be impressive.
It's amazing.
Because they're 2 points off seventh at the moment.
Well, there's actually a way for... I mean, I think there could be a way forward for Worcester to get to fourth. So,
Theoretically, but I don't think
someone's got.
They are 10 points off, but I don't think you could get the right combination of results for everyone else.
The way Sale have been playing is they played really well, then really poorly, then really well, then really poorly. So they're due for actually playing quite well.
Quite well. So yeah, okay.
But I'm going to go Bristol at home.
Now, if Sale have just, has done some analysis on Bristol playing from everywhere, and they can get the Currys and John O'Ross tackling everything.
Their defence is very good, actually.
Sale
got a great defence, so I'm going to go for...
Yeah, Sale could suffocate Bristol.
And Sale shut them down.
Sale are going to win.
Get AJ kicking the corners and get the Curry boys and Ross tackling everything.
Sale are going to win. They'll be hoping for rain.
Then Quinn's hosting Leicester Tigers.
Quinn's.
I think Quinn's. I think a 5-point win. Nil win.
I tell you what would be really cruel is if Quinn's get the bonus point, Tigers get no bonus points, and Newcastle also get a bonus point win.
Which we'll come on to. So Saturday, 3 o'clock, Newcastle travel to Gloucester.
Yeah.
Not a hope.
Now Gloucester, they have secured... They've secured top four, so
they're at home.
They are at home. They'll be hurting from that poor performance. Yeah,
and they know they want to gather some form. They know they'll have a week off the weekend after. So
yeah,
they can play their full team.
I wouldn't let Danny Cipriani eat in the stadium. Actually, he goes home. He rests up. I'm not letting anyone play us.
I think Gloucester will play a strong team.
Play a strong team win. Newcastle will be
they'll rest
relegated.
The following week.
I don't know what the live game is. I think it might be the Exeter Saracens game, but
you'd assume so.
I'd actually like this to be the
Saracens game because they don't need to play it.
Yeah, I know, but the picks get made several weeks in advance.
So yeah,
it's a quandary, and I think actually BT, but not you know, trying to be even being as objective as possible. Some people were saying, "Oh, why wasn't Northampton Newcastle the?"
It wasn't as good. You wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
It's easy to say that hindsight is 20/20, but actually you go, oh, two teams that could finish fourth.
Yeah, we'll
get that on a Friday night.
And you were right, it was a cracker.
Best team in the league with ball in hand. So we're all saying Gloucester.
Yeah, Gloucester and Newcastle's relegation to be confirmed on Saturday.
Hard luck, Newcastle.
And then the Vultures will get circling.
Yeah. Mark Wilson's the AJ Bell.
Then Saracens Exeter. It is a bit of a non-event because they're both secure in their positions. Saracens can't catch Exeter. No one can catch Saracens.
No, Saracens are going to be resting up all their players for the...
Saracens should rest.
For the Champions Cup.
Everyone. Yeah. Absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
Nothing to prove here, is there?
No. And we won't learn anything really about either team because it will be a complete second string Saracen team. And Exeter will probably take the opportunity to freshen a few players up.
They will.
And then, also at 3 o'clock, we've got Northampton hosting Worcester. Northampton will be pushing, so it's in Northampton's hands to finish in the top four.
What's Northampton's last game?
It is.
They've got Tigers. No, they haven't.
No, they've got Exeter Chiefs. Away at Sandy Park.
So they have to win this one.
They have to win it, and I think they will. I think they'll get a bonus point win against Worcester because Worcester can breathe out now.
So if I predict, the final game.
Final game on Sunday is Bath hosting Wasps. So two teams looking to correct not great
and
performances.
This one's all about top six now. This is just top six.
Pretty much, yeah. Again, theoretically, if other results go their way, but it's top six.
So, and I think, and where's this at Bath?
Come on, Bath.
At Bath,
yeah, Bath will win that.
Although
Wasps last week went to Exeter and won,
but then weren't particularly good against. Sorry,
really irritate me. I'm just thinking about how much they irritate me now.
Well, I can see Wasps winning this one. That's the hardest one to call out the weekend, I think. Let's say Bath win. If Bath win, how would it leave it? For the fourth, fifth, sixth, if all our predictions go to plan, if Northampton win, if Quinns win, if Sale win and Bath win, it's kind of as you were.
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing down. Wasps drop a place, but everyone else kind of stays in the same order because all that middle, Northampton in fourth, Harlequins in fifth, Sale in sixth, and Bath currently in eighth by 1 point, all just jump up by 4 or 5 points. The only question would come if Northampton or Quinns do or don't get winning bonus points. That is what could change it slightly.
I mean, who Quinns have got? Oh, Tigers.
Yeah, that's going to be a big win for Quinns.
It's going to be a huge win for Quinns. At Wilford Road, though, right?
No.
Stoop. Oh, Tigers got no hope.
Yeah.
No hope.
There we go.
Who would have thought that we'd be talking about Tigers at such disparaging 11th. Terms?
They're 11th.
And it from what is changing for next season... there's not much that I can see that is actually going to change this funk.
Lavanini.
Lavanini is a great signing. He's not going to change that team. He's not going to fundamentally change that
they've
team.
They've got five guys lined up, from what I understand.
Well, they named three last week.
Yeah. I've heard the big prop from Racing. The very big prop.
Oh, the one with the bleached blonde hair. What's his name?
Tammy Fanua.
Yeah.
Taufe Fanua, that's it.
Yeah. I've heard that, but I've heard, well, subsequent to hearing that, I've heard no, you know, further movements.
Jordan Taufua is a good player.
That is a very good player.
Crusaders 6/8.
No, he's a very good player.
No idea.
Yeah, he's handy.
Yeah, he's why they probably don't need Mark Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, we did say, so I was watching a bit of Super Rugby on Saturday morning when I was nursing my hamstring and playing with young Thomas. I was watching my beloved Hurricanes absolutely smash
the
Chiefs. It was a beat down. But Jordy Barrett in the first 10 minutes, scored two class tries. And someone, I can't remember who it was, on Twitter asked us to do some analysis of the second try, which was... It's difficult to analyse because, basically, Jordy Barrett did what the fast kid in under-13s rugby does, which is he picked up the ball on the halfway line. The Chiefs' defence didn't push up particularly aggressively, and they left a massive overlap on the right-hand side, their right-hand side, Jordy Barrett's left. And Jordy just kind of went on a long arcing run, looking for space, found the space, running. Just so simple, so bad by the Chiefs, but so simple for someone as quick as Jordy Barrett.
And evidently he is quite quick, because I don't think of him as particularly... Hell, Jordy is a tall one.
The tall fullback.
With massive long limbs like that, you sort of gallop, but you don't look rapid, but you...
So he's quick enough to play on the wing for the All Blacks.
That's quite quick, isn't it?
fairly sharp. But yeah,
he's also 6'5", so he doesn't look... It doesn't look like he's travelling as quick as he is.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about like the New Zealand Ollie Cuthbert?
Alex Cuthbert.
I went to school with Ollie Cuthbert.
A bit better than that.
How much better?
Well, he can play 15, he can play 13, multi-positional. He can't play tight head prop like your good self.
No.
He has a few strings to his bow.
That's a good question.
And he's only 22 years old.
Anyone know what happened to Alex Cuthbert? Alex Cuthbert.
He's not playing for Exeter currently.
He was in the A-team squad.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago.
So I thought this was going to be one of those genius signings. I thought Cuthbert.
Who in our fantasy rugby draft picked up Alex Cuthbert? Because that was that would be a dreadful pickup, and I bet someone picked him up quite high up.
Relatively
early in the draft. Sorry, I've picked on a very sore point mentioning fantasy rugby draft.
Don't start.
So it's our semi-finals this weekend. I mean, I finished mediocre mid-table, so I wasn't involved either in the playoff for the Cup, the Championship, or the playoff for the Wooden Spoon. JB, however, was involved in the Wooden Spoon playoff.
Did I win?
And lost his semi-final matchup. So you are in the loser bowl.
Oh, no.
You're in the market for least valuable player, which you were in the domestic season, but that could be confirmed via the playoffs as well.
I'm not taking it seriously. Next year.
How did you get on last year when you took it very seriously?
I did not take it. Well, the first year I was in it, I think when that I made the semis. So, I just haven't.
So you're getting progressively worse.
No, I've had a bad year. Okay, but
two bad years.
Yeah, but unlike Leicester,
three bad years.
Do you know what the consistent factor has been in the last two bad years?
Go on.
Selecting loads, a disproportionate amount of sales.
70% of sales.
I think you should mention that, because I've got a pretty nifty strategy for next draft. Pretty nifty. Yeah, I'm missing one or two. AJ was a good, should have been a great signing. I should have gone for Faf. That's where I went wrong. If I had Faf, I'd be all right.
You were nearly 1,000 points behind me at the end of the season.
Faf's worth a couple hundred.
Who's the most valuable fantasy rugby draft player, or who has been?
Don't know, actually.
It must be Naravoro. But anyway, Phil has had his semi-final. Phil has been the dominant player.
Cordero.
There you go. Phil has been the dominant player in our league, had the best domestic regular season record. In the first leg of his semi-final, was trailing by 49.3. So he did 49.3 point deficit to make up this weekend. He made up the vast majority of that deficit.
But well, 99.9%. I made up 49.2 points, and so I finished in two rounds. 254.4 loses to 254.5.
Wow.
Sickening. After finishing second in the world, being top point scorer in our league comfortably all season, I'm out again. Alex Cuthbert went first pick on round four. He went 40th in the draft.
Wow.
To Ratzenberg.
Who's going to be in the loser bowl with you?
I'm going to make, not a shout out as such, but something I think is interesting. If you're a rugby fan and you're on Twitter and you're following various people, follow Rupert Moon on Twitter. Now, Rupert Moon, obviously the ex-Wales scrum half, ex-Scarlets, and also formerly of RGC, general manager.
Is he good in a Neville Southall kind of way?
No, he's not. It's the most bizarre... the guy never seems to miss an opportunity for a photo, ever. So here he is, dressing up in pantomime. Yesterday he was presenting at the darts, you know, the Welsh Championship of Darts, as if it was like the biggest event of all time. That's him with a pirate's hat on there, and then this just goes on and on. Here he is running a race for charity. The guy has about 20 different lives. It's a pretty bizarre follow. Oh, here he is in Bangor tasting bread. Oh, there he is. 20th of June 2019, presenting the darts for the best Welsh darts players that there are. Does that whet your appetite? Should do. That's him with Frank Bruno.
Go on.
Before we finish, quick shout out to Gareth Morgan on Twitter, who has sent
a fan, Gareth Morgan. Is that the guy?
He sent a picture of him drinking a Negroni. He said it's absolutely vile, horrendous drink. But he is dressed up in his Munster away supporters get-up.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, wonderful.
To do so. So cheers, Gareth.
Thank you, Gareth.
Awesome. We're at Rugby Podcast. We're on Instagram, we're on YouTube. Go and watch the video. Have a look at the wonderful Royal Navy Canterbury jersey that I'm wearing and the flesh-coloured top that JB's wearing.
Or, if you want, you go onto the RAF website and you get all of their kit there. I'm going to buy myself one of the training tops.
And someone from the army, get in touch with Phil.
Yeah, and also go to akumashops.com/eggchasers yes. And get the best Egg Chasers gear.
Definitely do that. See you on the next one.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.